Hello and welcome to Chapter 5 of Managing Project Vendors. Here we would talk about taking the decision. Take the decision in terms of the vendor comparison, evaluation, and selection. So how do we compare different vendors? How do we evaluate the qualification for our projects? And how do we finally make a decision to select a vendor or multiple vendors? So vendor selection plays one of the most important roles in the process of attaining the goal marked out by outsourcing the activities of a certain project or a certain business function. Because if the selection goes wrong, the entire delivery will go wrong. This plays a very important role. It's very important on how we qualify the vendors, how do we evaluate them. The price factor needs to be balanced with long-term objectives, and it is important to look at the total cost of the ownership rather than just looking at the near-term cost. You need to look at the overall cost of ownership, the overall cost of the project, its far-reaching consequences, rather than just considering the near-term or the short-term costs. Selecting the best vendor is a difficult challenge, but we will talk about on how do we ensure that we select the best vendor. So first look at the various steps which are involved in selecting a vendor or a service provider. First, we need to define the evaluation criteria. Without this, we would not know how to evaluate the multiple inquiries and proposals or quotations that we would receive for our requirements. We need to have an evaluation criteria set out. Evaluate various models of hardware and software procurement and support needs. What works best for you, an outright purchase or a leasing model? In terms of software, do you get a customized software developed, or you get into a subscription-based pricing for an already available software? So evaluate various models. Determine the total cost of ownership, a TCO, rather than looking only at the short-term expenses. Do a vendor risk assessment and analyze the scores and then take the final decision. So once you have the scores for all the shortlisted vendors, then take the final decision. So how do we carry out all these steps? First, you need to define the evaluation criteria. So what is the criteria for shortlisting and selecting vendors? First, you need to look at the management capability of the vendor. Who is behind the vendor organization? Who heads it? What's their history? What have they done before? What are their qualifications? So look at the vendor's profile, their case studies, white papers, presentations. Vendors reference customers, ask for reference customers, ask for clients they would have worked for, take feedback, gather some intelligence from the market. Vendors' employee base, vendors' presence in customer location. So are they in the same country? Are they in the same city? The proximity to the vendor's office. All these would play a very important role in the performance management and project management. Vendors' market share in their industry and service market. Vendors' industry expertise. So they may be an IT service organization, but have they worked for various industry verticals? Telecom, automobile, banking, healthcare. Have they worked for the industry which your client, your organization belongs to? So if you are a banking organization, has the IT vendor worked for other banking clients? Do they have the requisite industry or vertical expertise? Vendors' project-specific expertise. Have they worked on similar projects before this? Percentage of technical fulfillment of requirement. So you would have a technical checklist. Not all vendors would meet 100%, or maybe none of the vendors may meet 100%. So what is the percentage of technical fulfillment or qualification? Number of alternative solutions provided. Then vendors' process capabilities, technical expertise, different technology that they have access to, the kind of technical specialists or subject matter experts that they have in their team. The cost of service and product, very important. Quality of presentations that they send you as a proposal. If the presentations are of poor quality, so would the service be in most cases. Vendors' regulatory knowledge regarding their industry and compliance and standards. Vendors' financial stability. Is it a financially stable organization? Levels of automation possible. Vendors' quality assurance processes. So CMMI level, Six Sigma, ISO. So what are their quality assurance processes? Vendors' previous performance on similar projects. And is there a potential to engage the vendor in a long-term relationship? So you look at all these parameters when you evaluate the evaluation of a vendor. Also look at the vendor's financial stability as we discussed. So is it a financially stable organization? Would they be able to invest in your project? Asset turnover ratio, average receivables days, leverage in terms of asset and equity. What is their return on equity? Long-term debt to equity, contribution margins, and the profit margins of the entire vendor organizations. So different financial parameters to check if they are a financially stable organization. Then we need to evaluate the various models of engaging the vendors. So different models in hardware procurement and software procurement. Models in case of IT services, if you're going to employ IT services, and the impact of cloud computing. Let's look at the different models in hardware procurement. First, an outright purchase model. So what are the advantages of an outright purchase model? So if you require servers or computers, do you purchase them outright? If you do, what are the advantages? One, outright asset ownership. Once you purchase something, you have 100% ownership. Asset can be modified at any stage based on changing business requirements or customer specifications. Asset can be replaced or disposed of at any time, as the company would have outright ownership on the assets. However, there are some disadvantages as well. There is a major capital outlay upfront. You need to invest in purchasing the equipment or the machinery. So the entity incurs maintenance and repairs costs, which typically increases as the assets age. Entity incurs costs for the replacement or disposal of asset at the end of the useful lives. So once the machinery or the equipment is past its useful age, there is a disposal or a replacement cost which the company would have to pay. Now, compared to outright purchase, leasing and hardware is the other business model that we have. So what are the advantages of leasing? One, cash flow effective, as gaining access to asset, you don't have any major capital outlay up front. You're not buying the equipment, you're renting it, you're leasing it. The company may not incur repair and maintenance expenses, as the assets fall under the warranty of the leaser over the term of the lease. It is the responsibility of the leaser to repair and maintain the machinery. So the company does not spend on the annual maintenance contracts or repairs and maintenance. The entity may not incur any costs associated with disposal and replacements of assets at the end of the useful lives, because the ownership belongs to the leaser, not the company who has rented the equipment. Assets may be replaced more frequently because there is no cost to replacement, allowing the company access to latest technology at no additional cost. Possible access to knowledge, purchasing power, and discounts offered by the leaser. However, leasing also comes with certain disadvantages. So what would they be? First, assets may not be able to be modified to suit the changing business requirements or customer specifications without the leaser's approval, and there may be certain fees associated with the upgrade. The company does not have any ownership on the assets or the machinery or the equipment. Lease terms are generally fixed to asset replacement, and early terminations at the request of the entity may attract penalties and fees. Compared to hardware procurement, let's look at the models in software procurement. So you can either go for a perpetual license or a subscription license. In a perpetual license, you pay the price of the software, and a subscription license, you pay as you go. So you have monthly subscriptions, annually subscriptions, based on the number of users that would use the software. And let's now look at models when you employ IT services. In IT services, usually you have outcome-based service models, depending upon the deliverables and the quality of the output. So outcome-based as opposed to the traditional time and material contracts. You don't pay for the number of man hours or the number of resources involved in the project. You pay for the output, the outcome. Service model based on location of resources, on-site, off-site. So if the outsourced team works on-site, you would have a different pricing model. For off-site, you would have a different pricing model. The pricing model would be different if it's an offshore delivery model, because the operation cost for the vendor would be significantly less compared to an onshore delivery model. At times, you could have a hybrid delivery model where some members of the vendor team may be on-site while the other work off-site or offshore. So different location-specific models, which would impact the overall pricing or quotation of the IT services that you outsource. Let's now come to the TCO analysis, which was the total cost of ownership. So here we take the example of server infrastructure, the TCO analysis for a server infrastructure project. So what in this project, in this case, what could be the upfront expenses or costs? First is the acquisition costs, then the base cost of the server and storage, taxes and duties applicable based on the source and delivery of location. The taxes would change based on the source and the delivery location. Implementation costs, costs related to deployment of assets, any associated software expenses, any associated networking expenses, initial warranty cost, cost of finance at the time of acquisition. Then, along with the upfront capital expenditure, you would have the running costs throughout the equipment or the server life cycle, annual maintenance costs, operating expenses, support maintenance costs, cost of reconfiguration when the need be, costs of enhancement and upgrades of certain components of the server, cost of change in case of eventualities, cost of decommissioning the server, disposal or replacement, cost of insurance, net present value of any future investment in case payment terms are different across multiple vendors or future vendors. Then, how do we arrive at these costs? So when you are doing a total cost of ownership analysis for a project for server infrastructure, you need to arrive at the upfront costs and the running costs throughout the project life cycle. So how do you arrive at these expenses? One, the sourcing team's own experience with past purchase, because they would have worked on similar projects. They would have supervised the outsourcing of similar projects in the past. So the sourcing team would have previous data as a benchmark or as a baseline. The company's policies and standard practices for asset lifecycle management. So what are the policies that your company follows in terms of managing the lifecycle of an asset? That would also impact the cost of the server infrastructure. Detailed project plan and requirements, and vendor recommendations and vendor experience. So you also collect inputs from the vendor because they have the expertise with terms to the know-how of the maintenance and upkeep of the server. So you collect inputs from them as well. So you look at data from past projects You can get information from the sourcing team or the central repository of projects. And also you gather some inputs from the vendors, which help you arrive at the total upfront cost as well as the running costs per month or annually throughout the life cycle of the project. That lets you calculate the total cost of ownership for a particular project. Now, the most important factor now is the vendor risk assessment. So we had an evaluation criteria. We looked at if the vendor meets those criteria. We come at the total cost of ownership, but we also need to look at what are the possible risk elements involved in engaging a vendor. So for any project in outsourcing, there could be two sources of risks. One would be the project-specific risk. This risk would be similar for any vendor that you would decide to select. What would matter most in terms of selection would be the risk in terms of the vendor, specifically a particular vendor. So you need to assess the overall risks associated with every individual vendor, because the project specific risk would remain same for any vendor that you work with. So in the selection process, you need to look at the risk elements associated with every individual vendor. So what are the parameters that you need to look at when you try to assess the risk associated with selecting a particular vendor? You would need to look at the management capability. Do they lack the depth in leadership, the experience of the leadership team, the experience of the operations team? So if they lack experience and capability, they would not be able to deliver the standards that you're looking for. Delivery conformance. So are they able to meet the contractual terms in terms of timelines, quality and cost for their past projects? Financial stability. We looked at different parameters for assessing financial stability. So is the vendor organization a financially stable organization? What could be the impact of currency fluctuation? This would hold true when you have vendors from different countries bidding for your contract. What are the social risks associated with a particular vendor? Reputational risks. These would depend upon the intelligence that you gather from the market when you speak to reference clients or customers. Business continuity. Does the vendor has a business continuity plan? This you will check when you go for a due diligence. Risks of the cyberspace. Quality of performance. You look at the past data of the vendor, case studies, and also customer feedbacks. Logistics. Process capability. So do they have processes documented which are being followed by the team members and employees? How robust are those processes? Are they as par with industry standards and competitors? What are the political risks given the location of the vendor organization? Cultural risks, again, would depend upon the location of the vendor organization. Confidentiality. How do you rate the vendor on maintaining confidentiality? You need to consider your information, your business critical information, intellectual property rights. So do they have proper information security measures in place? Are they compliant to information security standards? And then you need to look at subcontracting risks. If the project involves or authorizes the vendor to subcontract certain parts of the project, you need to look at the risks involved with subcontracting certain parts or elements of the project by the vendor to other third-party organizations. So these are different criteria and methods and steps that you will need to look at when it comes to taking the final decision with respect to evaluating, shortlisting, and selecting a vendor or multiple vendors for your project requirement. So I'll see you in the next chapter. Thank you very much.